Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yud Zayin. Tonight is my mother's yard site, Imi Morasi, Alea Shalom, Chana Basmei Avram. I'm learning the shiur today, Li'ilui Nishmosa. We had the Machlokas yesterday, right after the Mishnah on Kuf Te Zayin Amid Beis. Towards the bottom, we brought down a Braisa that said that on Arba Asar, on the 14th day of Nisan, Erev Pesach Shechol Yos B'Shabbos, so we said you're allowed to go and shech the animal. That's certainly allowed. You have to do it then. It's a time-dependent obligation, so you can do it. But we said the flaying of the animal, we had the opinion of the Tanakama, which was Rishmol Benosha Riochan Rebroka, that said you can only flay it up until the chaze, until the breastbone, the manubrium, because you can get the sacrificial fats out in that fashion, and don't have to flay it more than that. Whereas the Chachamim said, Mavshitin is cooler. You're allowed to go and totally flay the animal. So I want to start, we did this at the end of yesterday's shir, but we'll go over it quickly today. From two lines from the bottom, we'll start Kuf Tes Zayin Omid Beis, Amar Rav Ashi. So he says, Betarti Pligi. They're actually arguing on two points over here. Number one, Pligi Betilto. They're arguing about whether you're allowed to move something that is Muktzah. The animal that we're talking about is going to be muktzah because it's Shabbos and you can't eat the meat. So the animal is muktzah. And they're also pligi mulacha, and they're also arguing about whether you can flay it that additional part further. That's the machlokis the Rav Ashi is telling us. It's a double machlokis over here. And v'hori karmelei, and this is what the Chachamim said to Rabbi Shmuel Benosho, Rav Yochan Mabroka, that they said to him from the case that we had yesterday in our Mishnah, where we said that if you have a Sefer Torah inside a tick, inside an aron of some sort, you're allowed to go and be matzil the Sefer Torah from the fire, you can be matzil the tick as well. So he says, in matzil, and this is what the Chachamim is telling Rav Shmuel Benosho, Rav Yochan Mabroka. This is our analogy that why we allow you to flay the animal in its entirety, just like you can bring out the Sefer Torah with the Aron. And they said, Im matzilin tik ha-sefer ma-sefer, if you're able to go and save the tick along with the Sefer Torah, so then certainly lo nitaltel or agabosus, and certainly you should be allowed to go and save the hide along with the basar. That's the argument that they presented. Now we turn to the Omen Aleph, and we said this yesterday. Mi dami, are the two comparable? The two cases aren't comparable. Hasam, in the case with the Sefer Torah and the tick, Nase Basis L'davra Mutter. The tick, the Aron, is serving as a base for a Davra Mutter, the Sefer Torah. You're allowed to read the Sefer Torah on Shabbos. So Hacha, but in our case with the animal, Nase Basis L'davra Aser. The hide is essentially a Davra Basis for the Davra Aser, the meat, because you can't use the meat. It's raw meat on Shabbos. So Gemara says, you're right, that's not a Raya. El Hachi Kamre. This is what the Chacham are saying to Rav Yochanan, to Rav Shmuel Benosho Rav Yochanan Broka. Im matzilin tik shel sefer, im ha sefer the afal pishesh besochomos. Oh, here we're now throwing in the additional thing. If the tik, if the aron had money in it as well, so now the tik is serving not only as a basis for the sefer Torah, but it's a basis of davar aser. It's also going to be supporting the money, and yet we allow that certainly. So lo natal to lara got basis. So why can't you go and handle the R because of the basar? It's also davar aser, just like you can handle the tick because of the money, so too you can handle the R because of the basar. Where it says also, midami, that's also not comparable. In the situation with the aron and the money and the Sefer Torah, hasim nasib basis l'davar aser ula davar mutter. You forgot that there's a Sefer Torah in there. So this is now acting as a basis for both the davar aser and davar mutter. And you're allowed to then carry it because of the davar mutter. Here with the flaying, hacha kula nasa basa davar aser. It's the flayed hide and the meat inside of it. It's all davar aser. It's all davar mutter. So you can't compare the two. So what's your raya? What are the chachamim trying to tell Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Yochanan Broka? So the Gemara continues and says, you're right. Elo hachi kormeli. This is what the chachamim is saying. Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Yochanan Broka. Im the intik sheish besocho mos be alma. If you're going to bring a arum to get the Sefer Torah out, and that tick has money in it, so now it's only acting as a basis of davar aser, and yet you're allowed to lahatzel b'sefer Torah, you'll have to do that. So likewise, lo natal to lara gav basar, why can't you go and carry the meat via the hide? In other words, the two now are comparable. And where it says, where do you know this? Vi gufa min olam. How do you know you're allowed to go bring the tick with money in it to go and save the sefer Torah? Where it says, if you're going to lure it out, ilema dimidehecha deisbe lo shadilu, if you're going to tell me it's because when it has money in it and the Sefer Torah in it, you're not mechuyev to go and take the money out. That's a different case. if you're telling me there you can do it, so therefore I too yinami maisinim, that you should be able to go bring a case with money in it, midami, those are incomparable cases. Hasam, when you have the money in the Sefer Torah, in the tick there, in the case, adahachi v'hachi naflu d'leika. If you'd go and shake out the money, so meanwhile the place could burn down. So you have to rush out right away. So you don't have time. Hacha, when you're bringing the tick to the Sefer Torah, so adahacha v'hachi lishaydinon. Go and get rid of the money as you're carrying it. There's no harm lost. You're still moving, so shake out the money. So the two cases are incomparable. If you take out the money from the Sefer Torah when it's already with the Sefer Torah, so then that's going to delay you from taking the Sefer Torah out. So that can't be the source, because here there's no delay whatsoever. So the Gemara says that's also not the answer. So what in the world did the Chachamim really tell Rishmo b'no Shor Yochim Broko? Maravashi said, this is what they said. In fact, it's like we left it from the very beginning. There aren't two machlokas in over here. There's only one machlokas over here between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Rabbi Yochanan Rebroka. Can you flay the animal all the way or not? And when they tried to bring a raya from the case of the carrying of the Aron, so that's only an Issah Darabanan of Tiltal, and this is an Issah Darais of flaying. So how can the Rabbanan bring a raya to their opinion from a case of a Din Darabanan? So Gemara says, no, they're both Darabanans. He doesn't need the hide. So he therefore, it's a Melachas Machshevis. He's not flaying it over here for the hide. He's flaying it because he wants to have access to the meat. And therefore, there is no Issah Darais of flaying in this situation. The low cowboy, lala or he doesn't need the or. Of course, that's not an answer. Oh, Abai Rava, the Amrit Abai, we had this many times already. Both Abai and Rava said that even Rabbi Shimon, who says that the Dover Shen Muskabin is mutter, is potter, he says, Molder Rabbi Shimon, b'psik reish v'lo yos. He says, if it's going to automatically happen, so then even Rabbi Shimon, who's makel by a Dover Shen Muskabin, says it's potter, here we would say that Yechai, because it's a psik reish. Rabbi says, no, you don't understand. The shokolei bibarze. He took the flaying over here, not in the normal fashion. He flayed it bibarze. What is that? So Rashi says, bichatichos dakos, mafshik v'chotech. He's stripping it, but not in the normal way to take off a large piece of hide. He's cutting it up into little component parts. Dein derech havshat bekach. That's not the normal way to go and do this. And therefore, the lav melachahu, El Shvus. This is not an Issa Deraisa, and it's only a Shvus. It's only the Rabbanan. Oh, now we're comparing it to Rabbanan to Rabbanan. This is the Raya that the Chachamim is saying. Just like Din the Rabbanan of carrying the money in the Aron with the Sefer Torah, so to over here, you can go and flay here because it's only an Issa Rabbanan. Now, if you look on the side, in the Gemara, it says over there, the Aruch brings down Barza is Nekovim. It means holes. V'hochi kamar. Man debaza leli or. If you make holes in this or, kishum avshito, when you take it off, it's mukha milsa de lo boy la or, that you have no need for this or, and therefore, v'ein lo hanami menu, this is going to be a psikresha, but it's de lo nichale. You're getting absolutely no benefit from it. V'lo domi le psikresha, and it's not like a regular psikresha. That's what the Aruch says. And in this way, you misyashiv kushas atosos. You're going to get around a lot of questions that people have on Rashi Shita over here, because this is not really a dover shenu miskavin. This is a locha shenu tzricha legufa. There's a slight difference between the two. And therefore, in this situation, by understanding the way the Aruch does, Rashi is okay, and therefore this is the raya that the Chachamim were giving, was a Din Rabbanan comparing to a Din Rabbanan. Okay. That finishes off really the sugi from yesterday. Now, in the Mishnah, we said that you're allowed to go and take out the Sefer Torah. You'll be able to matzil it to a place that we said was a mavi she'ena mefulish, a mavi she'mefulish. So we said that we don't use the normal definitions of a mavi mefulish, which means it goes through and through. Ena mefulish means it's surrounded on three sides. It's like a cul-de-sac more than a thoroughfare. And that's normally what a mavi she'ena mefulish means. It's surrounded on three sides. It's open to the Shusarabim. And a mavi mefulish is surrounded on two sides, but you can go through and through. And that's a mavi mefulish. But here the definition is going to be different. So the Gemara asks, hechi dami mefulish, hechi dami she'ena mefulish. That which we said in the Mishnah, that the Chachamim allow you to bring the Sefer Torah into a mavi she'ena mefulish, and Ben Beseira came along and said you could even bring it into a mefulish mavi, what are they exactly referring to? So I'm Rav Chista tells us, we have three opinions over here. The first one is Rav Chista. Shalosh mechitzos u'shnei l'choyin. The definition over here is a definition that we'll have to see a machlokis between the Shammai Beis Hillel and Rabbi Eliezer. So this opinion over here, the Rav Chisda says, is that the machlokis between the Chachamim and Ben Beseira in our Mishnah is dealing with the definition of a Mavi She'enu Mefulosh as being the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. And that is that the Mavi She'enu Mefulosh is three mechitzos, it's surrounded on three sides, it's like a cul-de-sac that opens up to the Shusha Rabbim, and Ushnei Lechayin, and it has two lechis. A lechi is a vertical post that's put as a reminder that you're about to go from the Mavi into the Shusha Rabbim, so don't, because in the Shusha Rabbim you can't carry. In the Mavi, if there's a sheet of Mavayos, if you have an Erev on the Mavi, then you're allowed to carry in the Mavi. So the lechi is a reminder that you can't go beyond that. So in order for this to be an area that you would be allowed to carry into, under normal circumstances, you need to have three walls. It's surrounded on three sides. You need to have shnei lechayin. You have to have a lechi at each side of the opening. And again, it's only one side, but on the left side and on the right side. And in addition, you normally have to make a sheet of mavayos. All the people have to get together, put a box of matzah together, and say that we're all considered like one for this regard. So Rav Chisda tells us that when the Chachamim say you're allowed to bring the Sefer Torah and be matzilit from the house into a mavoi, she'enu mefulosh, this is the type of mavoi that it's talking about. When it's a mavoi that is mefulosh, so shalosh mechitzos v'lechi echad, zeh mavoi mefulosh. That is called a mavoi mefulosh when there's only one lechi over here and not two lechis. So that's a downgrade. So that's where Ben Beseira says you can move it into that, and the Chacham would say you can only move it into the mavoi that is eino mefulosh. This is the understanding of the machlokis according to Rav Chisda. The Tarvayu, as I already said, Aliba, the Rabbi Eliezer, they both go according to the machlokis within the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, which is a three machlokis. That not, we learned in the Mishnah, Heksha Mavoi. How do you make a Mavoi able to be carried within? So you need to have, in addition to the sheet of Mavoyos, you need to have a certain type of physical structure. Veshami Yomim Lechi Bekorah. You need to have a lechi, which is the vertical post, and a korah, which is a horizontal post, what we call a cross beam over the top. It's not a tzuras ha-pesach. That would be two lechis and a korah, but it's a lechi and a korah. That's the opinion of Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel says, no, more mekel. Beis Hillel omrim, o lechi, o korah. You only need one. Now, along comes Rabbi Eliezer, omer shnei lechayim. He says, you need two lechis. So this machlokis between Ar-Chachamim and Ben Beseri and Ar-Mishnah, according to Rav Chisda, is only going according to the opinion of Rebbe Eliezer, that a mavoi that's einam foolish requires a lechi on each side of this open fourth side. So that's the opinion of the Chachamim. You can carry in there if it has a lechi on each side, einam foolish. And Ben Beseira says, even if it's only one lechi, you can carry in there. But there's a problem, because Amalei Rabba, Rabbi says to Rav Chisda, if it has all the requirements that Rebbe Eliezer says, shalosh mechitzos, lechi echad, mefulosh korah tzlei, are you going to call this, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that's mefulosh? Rabbi Eliezer says you need two lechis over here. And furthermore, for Od, the Rabbanon, natzel l'socha ochle mashkin, if you're saying that this is the proper way that Rabbi Eliezer says you're allowed to go and make this into a mavoi that's eino mefulosh and can carry in it, so then you should be able to go and carry even food in there. But in the next mission, we're going to learn you're not allowed to bring out food. And therefore, the problem, Rabbi says to Rav Chisda, is that your definitions don't fit over here. If you want to tell me this is the machlokas between the Chacham and Ben Beseira within the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, it doesn't fit. Because according to the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, it wouldn't be called a mavi mefulosh if it has shalosh mechitzos and only a lechi echad like Ben Beseira. And even according to the Chachamim, then why is it only the Sefer Torah that can bring out there, should be able to bring anything out there? And therefore, Rabbi says, you're wrong, Rav Chisda, El Amar Rabbi, this is the answer. Shnei mechitzos. We're talking about two mechitzos, not that it's a cul-de-sac around on three sides. It's only a two sides. You have like a house on one side of the street, a house on the other side of the street, and that area in between them, you want to call that a mavui. That's a mavui mefulosh. You could go through and through this mavui on both sides. So this is what Rabbi is saying the answer is. It's talking about shnei mechitzos u'shtei l'chayin. And there's a lechi on the left side and a lechi on the right side of this thoroughfare. In other words, the two sides of this mavoi. You have a house on the left side, a house on the right side, and now you have a lechi over here to the left of the house, a lechi to the right of the house, and zeh mavoi she'enu mefulosh. That's the definition of a mavoi she'enu mefulosh. And if you only had one lechi, shnei mechitzos is lechi echad, that's a mavoi mefulosh. So this is the machlokas between the Chacham ben Beseira. Betarbayu Aliba, the Rebbe Yehuda, they go according to this opinion of Rebbe Yehuda, which is continued from that Mishnah. Yes, okay. Rebbe Yehuda says, I'm Rav Yehuda. We have two houses over here. One is on the left side of the road, one is on the right side of the road. And the road goes through and through between the two houses. So Rav Yehuda calls a Eino Mefulish over here. If you make Osa Lechi Mikan, the Lechi Mikan, that's called a Mavui that is Eino Mefulish. O Kara Mikan, Vakara Mikan. Or alternately, you can even put a Kara on each side. However, and then, in this situation, then the area in between is allowed to be carried in. And the Chachamim disagree. They say, you're not allowed to make a Rishus Rabim. This is a Rishus Rabim. You're not allowed to be Ma'arav in this way and close it off. Now, this is Rabba's answer, but it doesn't get around the same question, the answer of Chista, which is what Abaye tells him. Abaye says, you're no different than Rav Chista. The same question you post to Rav Chista, we can post to you. L'didach, according to you. Nami l'Rabbanan, according to the opinion of the Rabbanan that says this is an Eino Mefulish, when they have Shtei Mechitzos or Shtei Lechem, that's exactly what Rav Yehuda said is allowed. So if you're saying you're going according to Rav Yehuda, so why is it only a Sefer Torah that you're allowed to be Matzil? In this situation, L'didach, Nami l'Rabbanan, Natzil l'Socho, Oklum l'Mashkin, you should be able to bring anything you want over here. Why is it only in this situation that the Sefer Torah is Matzil? So Abaye asked this question to Rabbah, and we have a teretz, Elam Ravashi, a third teretz over here. Therefore, you know what it's talking about. This machlokas between the Chachamim and the Seira goes on the following. Elam Ravashi, Shalosh Mechitzos V'lechi Echad, Zem Avish En Mefulush. You know, we have to downgrade Rav Chista Shita by one factor. Rav Chista had said that the Eino Mefulush is Shalosh Mechitzos and Shnei Lechayin. Here, it's Shalosh Mechitzos V'lechi Echad. That's the definition of Eino Mefulush. And Gimel Mechitzos below Lechi at all. Zeh Mavui HaMefulush. That's the definition of a foolish. Va'afilu Rabbi Eliezer. Now, even according to Rabbi Eliezer, the Omar Bo'ino Lechayim, he says you need two. Hani Mili L'Ochel U'Mashkin. In order to be able to carry in there, you need to have two Lechis. That's Ochel U'Mashkin. I will say for Torah, the rabbi said, Matzilin, with one is enough. That would be the opinion of the Chachamim. With one lechi, that's enough. And the opinion of Ben Meser is, even with no lechis, that's enough. But now we don't have the problem that, why can you do it with a Sefer Torah, not with the food? Oh, they made a special cooler for a Sefer Torah to downgrade it one from what Rabbi Eliezer said. The Chachamim say, animal foolish, even if it has only one lechi. And Ben Meser, even if it has no lechis, a Sefer Torah can be matzil. But food, no. You need to have two lechis, according to the Chachamim. And one lechi according to Ben Becerra. And that's how we resolve that machlokas. Next Mishnah. Here we talk about saving food. Until now we're talking about saving the Sefer Torah. So Gemara says, Matzilin mazon gimel sudos, haroy liodom liodom, haroy lebema lebema. You're allowed to go and bring out food on Shabbos. If there's a fire, you can bring out food for three meals for a person that is fit for a person, and for an animal that is fit for an animal. What are we talking about? Ketzad. Why are you allowed to bring out three meals? Because here we're talking about Noflo Deleika B'Leil Shabbos, that the fire occurred Friday night. And as we'll see, you haven't yet eaten. So that's why you're allowed to take out three meals. Matzilin Mazon Shalosh Sudos. By Shachar's time, if you haven't yet eaten, so then Matzilin Shteis Mazon Shteis Sudos. You're only allowed to bring out two meals worth. And by Mincha time, you haven't yet eaten Shalosh Sudos. By Mincha Mazon Suda Achas. That's the opinion of the Tanakama. And along comes Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi says, no. Rav Yossi Omer, Lo'olam Matzilin Mazon Shalosh Sudos. If you're allowed to save it on Friday night, then you can save it on Shabbos afternoon, Shabbos morning, whenever you want. You're allowed to save three meals. That's the din. You're allowed to save three meals. It has irrelevance, nothing to do with what time of the day it is. This is the machlokis of our Mishnah. The Gemara starts off and says, Michtei, Behetera Kotarach. The person over here is doing no sin. What? Why can't he take out all of his food? He's bringing it into an area that actually has an Erev. So therefore, why can't he bring out all the food from his house? Why is he only allowed to bring out three meals or two meals or one meal? According to Rav Yossi, always three meals. Behetera Kotarach. He's doing it absolutely in a permissible way. As Rashi says, Chazul Letilto, L'chotzah Merevitz. We're talking here about bringing it into a Chotzah Merevitz, a Chotzah that has an Erev around it. So why can't he bring out? So the Gemara says, Natzul Tvei. He should be able to bring out as much as he wants. Amar Rav, Rav says, no. Mitosha Odom Bohol Amamono. No. A person is very nervous about his money. And if you tell him he can bring out as much as he wants without giving him any sort of a guideline, you know what he's going to do? Yishar Islay, Asil Chabui. If you allow this, he may have come to forget, Rashi says, that it's Shabbos. Mitok Shubal, Min Sheleil Shabbos. He's going to forget about it being Shabbos. He's rushing, rushing, rushing. I have to save my food, I have to save my food. And he's going to end up putting out the fire. He'll forget it's Shabbos. So therefore, the rabbi's putting restrictions. If he says, oh, you're only allowed to take out three meals, or only two meals, or one meal, so then he's going to remember that it's Shabbos, and he won't come to be over Shabbos. That's why the Mishnah says you have to limit how much food you can take out, even though there is no Isser involved. Amalei Abaye, Abaye says, Elohadet Tanya, wait a second, what about the following Brisa? The following Brisa says, Nishbru Lochavis Birosh Gago. If a person has a barrel of wine up on top of his roof that's broken, and the wine is all coming off his roof, so what should the person do? It's on Shabbos. Maybe Kli, you're allowed to bring a Kli, or Miniach Tachtel, you can go put it underneath the barrel of wine where the water, the wine is coming out, and save the wine. However, you're only allowed to bring one Kli. Uvavad Shaloyovi Kli Acher. As long as you don't bring your second utensil and catch the flow of the wine midair, so to say. You can put one at the bottom and the wine will fall into it, but don't bring another one and catch it in the middle, or don't bring kli acher v'yitzarif, and don't bring another kli over there and some will be mitzarifid on the roof there so that the wine will flow right off into this kli. In other words, you're limited over here, only allowed to bring one kli to save the wine. Mor says, Hossa Mike Zerika, why did the rabbis make gzeir over there? There's no fire. There, the barrel broke already. There's no way you can prevent that from happening. By the fire, we're concerned. The rabbis made a gzeirah. You may come to put out the fire. Here, why did the rabbis restrict you to only one vessel? What possible concern did they have? Where it says, Hochanami gzeirah. Here, too, there is a gzeirah, a concern. Shemayavi kli derech rishus harabim. Because in your zeal to go at more kalim, you may come to carry them in rishus harabim. Oh, that would be a real problem. Therefore, the rabbi said, don't go and bring additional klis. One kli you can, but no additional kalim. Mor says, Gufa, let's go back and discuss this a little bit more. Nish barolo chovitz rosh gago. You have the barrel of wine up on the top of your roof that breaks. Maybe kli u'miniach tachtel. You'll have to go bring another vessel and go and put it there to collect the wine. Fine. Bring another barrel, collect the wine in this new barrel. However, u'bavach lo yivi kliach v'yikli. You can't bring a second kli and go catch it mid-air, or kliach v'yitzarif, or somehow put another kli up there on the roof, and before it falls off the roof, go and collect it. Now, here's the Brisa continues. Nizdamin lo orchin, if in fact you have guests, then maybe kliacher v'kolit. Then you can collect more wine. Or kliacher mitzar, you can go bring it there to the rooftop and have the wine flow right into it. In this situation, when you have guests, you're allowed to because the guests need additional wine. However, what you can't do, if it's lo yiklot, don't go and bring the other kli and do this, and then v'yachar kach yazmin, and afterwards go and invite orchim, go and invite the guests to come. That you're not allowed to do. If you want to do this, Ela Yasmin, first you have to go and be Mazmin the guests, and now, when you know you have guests, you go and put out another kli. And you also can't make a joke out of this. You're not allowed to do haram over here. You're not allowed to do a trick. You're not allowed to be a shyster over here and say, oh yeah, sure, I'm inviting guests, but the guests already ate, and they, you know, they're not going to eat any of your food over here, they're not going to drink any of your wine over here, and therefore, there really is a joke over here that you're inviting them. A haram. That you're not allowed to do. However, that's the opinion of the Tanakhama. Mishum Rav Yosef Rehuda, Mamreiman, you're allowed to do this. It's a halachically valid thing. You're inviting the guests over. No, if they choose not to eat, well, that's their choice. And if they choose not to have any of the wine, well, you saved the wine. You were willing to give it to them. Albeit, you know that they weren't going to have it, but since they technically could have it, that type of aroma is allowed. So this machlok is over here between the Tanakhama. Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda is, can you do this aroma or not? Gemara says, this sounds like a machlokas that we had elsewhere or in a similar situation. Lema b'pluks of the Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shua k'mivligi. This machlokas between the Chachamim and Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Yehuda, sounds exactly like the machlokas between Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Yeshua in regards to Oso V'yes B'no. Now there is a halacha, din in the Torah, that you're not allowed to shech the mother cow and the child cow on the same day. That's called Oso V'yes B'no. What happens on Yontif if they both fell into a pit? Now, the only reason you'd be allowed to bring them out of the pit would be to shecht it. But you can't bring them both out because you're not allowed to shecht both of them. So what should you do in this situation? You're stuck. So the Tanya, we learned in this Brisa. Also, yes, but no, shenof lebar. You have the mother cow and the baby cow that fell into the pit. Now, you're only allowed to bring one out to shecht it. The other one's going to have to stay in the pit. So what should you do? Rebbe Elazar Omer, Rebbe Elazar says, Ma'ales or Rishon amanas l'shokto. You can pick whichever one you want, bring up one of them, and that one you shecht because you're allowed to do that. That's why you can move the animal out of the pit and shecht it. And the other one that's left in the pit by Shani, whichever one you're leaving behind, Osalo Parnasa, Bimakomo, Bishul Shalo, Yomus. You're allowed to feed it down there, you're allowed to take care of it, but you can't move it from the pit. So you're allowed to make sure it doesn't die, but you can only remove one of the animals, and that animal you have to go and shecht. Yeshua disagrees. Yeshua says, no. You know what you do? Malin and Sarishon, Amanas Shachtu. You say, yeah, I'm taking up the mother cow, and I'm going to go shecht the mother cow. And when you bring it up, to the top, you say, you know, I changed my mind. Then you're going to not shecht it and bring up the other cow. Umarim, you do aroma, umalas hasheni. And then when you have both of them up, rotzezeh shochet, you can pick whichever one you want. If you need the mother cow to shecht, gizuntet. If you need the baby cow to shecht, gizuntet. But you got them both out in this fashion. So Rabbi Yeshua allows aroma, Rabbi Eliezer doesn't allow the aroma. Oh, that's exactly like all machlokes. The Tanakhama doesn't allow aroma, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda allows the aroma. Isn't it the same thing? Gemara says lav dafka, not necessarily so. Mimai, who says they're the same thing? Dilma, maybe ad kan lo kama Rabbi Eliezer hosom. In the case of the cows in the pit, he only allowed it over there to bring up one of them, the efshar b'parnasa, because you can save the other one at the bottom. You give it food down there, so it'll stay in the pit. So no loss, no financial loss. But hocha, aval hocha, the low efshar, in the case of the barrel, if he doesn't bring additional barrels, he's going to have a financial loss. Maybe low. Maybe Rabbi Eliezer would be mode to the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Yehuda that you can do aram in that situation. Furthermore, yad kan lo kamar Rabbi Yeshua hosam, maybe Rabbi Yeshua said in the case of the cows that you're allowed to bring both of them up and do the harama. You know why? Mishum dika tzav alechayim. Because there's a problem over here. If the cow is in the bottom of the pit, it's going to be very uncomfortable. Ah, tzav alechayim, that's a reason to do the harama. But who says in the case of financial loss, where there's no tzav alechayim, of hoch, the lek tzav alechayim lo, maybe even Rabbi Yeshua would be moded to the Tanakhama that you can't do harama. So you can't necessarily correct the machlokas of the barrels of wine, the Chachamim versus Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, to the machlokas of Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Lezer in regards to Oso V'yes Bino. Gemara continues and says, Tana Rabbanon, Hitzil Pas Nekia. On Shabbos, there's two types of bread. You have basically the good bread, the very finely sifted flour, the bread that doesn't have any additional chaff or stuff inside of it. That's called Pas Nekia. Then you have Pas Hadra, also known as Pas Kiber. It doesn't have its Hadar. It doesn't have the beauty to it. It's whole wheat. It's coarse bread. So, if you already saved Hitzo Pas Nekia, so then the Braisa tells us, Ein Matzo Pas Hadra. You're not allowed to go and save the Pas Hadra, because that's an inferior type of a bread. You already have the good bread, so why would you be allowed to go and save the inferior bread? On the side, he brings out from the Aruch that Pas Hadra means a lechem of a thicker type of a bread. In any event, it's not as good a bread as the Pas Nekia. But if you save Pas Hadra, so then Matzo Pas Nekia, then you are allowed to go and save the Pas Nekia. There is no problem in doing that, because it's a better bread. Furthermore, the Braisa says, "Umatzilim yom kippur l'Shabbos." If this happens on Yom Kippur, you can save bread for Shabbos. However, the other way around, the v'lo mi Shabbos yom kippur. Shabbos can't be mechem for Yom Kippur, and therefore you can't save extra bread for Yom Kippur. And certainly, if you can't do it for Yom Kippur, certainly mi Shabbos l'yontif. Shabbos is not mechem for Yom Kippur. It's certainly not mechem for yontif. V'lo mi Shabbos l'Shabbos haba, and not even for the next Shabbos, because you have all the week in between to prepare for the next Shabbos. Tanur Rabbanon, the Braisa continues and says, Shochach Pas B'Tanur. Now, the way they used to make bread is they would take the dough and they would slap it onto the side of the oven, and then they'd have to be rode it. They'd have to remove it with some sort of an implement, a special wooden tool, to go and detach the bread from the side of the oven. They didn't put it on grates like we did. They slapped it onto the side of the oven. Now, there is no real malacha involved in removing such bread, but the rabbis forbade you to do this. What happens now? Shochach Pas B'Tanur. A person put it in before Yontif, but he didn't take it out. Before Shabbos, rather. And he didn't take it out. So Shochach Pas B'Tanur. V'kideh Sholav Hayom. And now it's Shabbos. So you're not allowed to take this out. The rabbis forbade you to go take out bread like this from the oven on Shabbos. But now you're not going to have any food on Shabbos. So the din is, Matzilin Mazon Sholosh Seudos. You're allowed to go save 3 meals worth of food. V'omer Le'achayim. You can even tell other people, Bo V'tzilulchem. You want to take some bread? You can take bread as well. However, when you do take it out, since it's not a real isser, so the rabbis didn't institute any isser in this situation when you're desperate, they said, however, don't take it out with a normal tool, the wooden implement that you normally take it out with, and take it out with a knife, scrape it off the side of the oven with a knife. Now, where it says, why do you have to do this with a shinoi? Ini? Is it really so? Well, talking to Rabbi Shmuel, they learn in the base manager of Rabbi Shmuel that the pasuk says, lo saseh chol melech. That's the pasuk that we have. The Bach brings down that some have the pasuk over here that it should be, to call melech savodah lo sasu. In any event, whichever pasuk it is, so this comes to teach us that it's only a real melech that you're not allowed to do, as opposed to yotza, technically, tkiya shofar, blowing a shofar, or rdiyas apas, or removing this bread from the oven, it's a chachma, shi chachma, it's not really a malacha, they ain't a malacha, and therefore it technically is allowed to be done on Shabbos, there's no problem in doing so. So why over here did the rabbis make you do it with the shinoi? There really is no issa. The only rabbi said don't do it, but here the rabbi said you can do it. So why did they make you do it with the shinoi? So Gemara says, no, still common diav shalosh shanuye mishanina. If you can make it somewhat with the shinoi, it's better to do so, because it's uvda dechol, it looks like a weekday activity. Now, if you have no choice, you have no choice. If you have a sakin, use a sakin. If you don't have a sakin, then you're allowed to use the mirda. But they said at least try to make it a little bit that it's not done in the exact normal way that you do it, because the rabbis did prohibit you to do rediyas apas, and only here they allowed you to do it. So I said, once they allowed you to do it, try to do it with a little bit of a shinoi. Amr Ruchista says, Liolom Yashkim Adam Lotzah Shabbos. The person should get up early Friday morning and take care of all his needs for Shabbos. What's it based upon? Shinemak. The Pasuk says, Vayob Yom Shishi Vechinu Vesashi Yaviu. The Pasuk tells us with the Mon that the Mon came down and it said that you should go and prepare for it. And this means La Alter. How do we know it means La Alter? So Rashi says, if you look at the Pasuk tells us, Bishas Hava Hachana. At the time that the Mon came down, that's when you should do the Hachana. And when did the Mon come down? Hava Bashkama was. It came down. Vayilkatu also Baboker Baboker. Baboker Baboker implies early in the morning, Bashkama. And therefore, you should do this Bashkama as well. You should prepare for Shabbos early in the morning. It's brought down in Shulchan Aruch that a person is actually allowed to go to the store and buy the stuff of Shabbos before he davens. Don't be allowed to do anything before you daven. Here you're allowed to in order to prepare for the Shabbos. Rabbi Abba tells us, on Shabbos we need Lecha Mishnah. We all know you need Lecha Mishnah on Shabbos, and this is based upon the Pasuk, Dilsiv Lecha Mishnah. Now, Rabbi Abba said that you should actually break both breads. Now, many people do that. That's based upon the Vilna Gaon. He says that you're supposed to break both of the breads each time. However, Amar Rav Ashi says, no. Chazino Leila Rav Kahana. I saw myself, Rav Kahana, do this. Dinokatarti took Lecha Mishnah. However, Ubatzachad, he only broke one. And Amar, he said, the Pasuk says, Lock two. It says you should take loktu, but it doesn't say botseya, loktu ksiv. And therefore, many people follow this halacha, which is brought down in Shulchan Aruch, that you take lecha mishnah, but you only have to eat one of the breads, only have to cut one of the breads. Again, the Vilna Gaon, and those that hold like the Vilna Gaon say, you should at each meal break both of the breads. Rav Zeira, habibotza kula sheruse. Rav Zeira, when he would go and break the bread, so he would cut off a huge piece and use it for the rest of the meal. So one time he would break off a piece. In fact, that's why it says that the balabas should be the one that always washes and does the betzias hapas. He should be the one to give the hamotzi out. You don't honor a guest with that. You can honor a guest to make kiddush, let's say, but you don't honor a guest to do the betzias hapas, because the guest will not do it with such a generous hand. He'll say, oh, I don't know how much food they have, I don't know how much bread they have, so cut small pieces, where the balabas would cut nice big pieces for everybody. So therefore, Reb Zeira would cut a big, big piece over here for the rest of the meal. Avrele Ravina, Rav Ashi. Ravina said to Rav Ashi, "Vamechsi krab sanusa. You look like a glutton. You look like a person that eating a tremendous amount of food when you do that." So Rav Ashi said, "No, that's allowed." Amale kivan the whole yoma lo avid. Every day you don't do this. Via idna, and now you are doing it. Via idna, who de kovet? Only now on Shabbos are you doing it. Therefore, everybody going to see lo merci krav sanusa. You don't look like a glutton. You don't look like a person who's just interested in food, because all week long you're not interested in doing a large piece like this. Oh, Shabbos, you're doing the kovet asuda. That's allowed. Ravami Ravasi, these two great Amoraim from Eretz Yisrael, Ki Mikluluhu Rifto De Eruva, when they were the ones that the Eruv was often kept, the Eruv Chatzeris was often left in the rabbi's house. So when they were Zochet to have the Eruv in their house, and the Eruv now was only for that Shabbos, and now could be eaten on that Shabbos, so Shauri Lave, they would go and do the Lecha Mishnah on the Eruv Chatzeris. Abri, they said, since one mitzvah was done with it, the mitzvah of Eruv Chatzeros, it's a good idea. You should do another mitzvah with it. We have a remnant of this when we make an Eruv Tavshilin. So we don't have Eruv Chatzeros in our people's houses. There's one for the entire community that's in the Rav's house. So the Rav could theoretically do it. But our Eruv Chatzeros, we want that bread to be around every week. So they take a box of matzah. Usually they do it on Eruv Pesach, and that stays there for the whole year. So nobody really has a chance to do this with Eruv Chatzeros. But everybody has a chance to do this mitzvah with the Eruv Tavshilin. When you have Yom Tov coming out before Shabbos, so then you make an Erev Tavshilin. So many have the custom that they use the Erev Tavshilin matzos or chalas that they use that for Lecha Mishnah, and they eat it by Shalosh Shudis of the Erev Tavshilin. So that's a beautiful additional minog that's brought down based upon this. Then the Mishnah said, Ketzah, Noflu the Lake of Bechule. We said if the fire broke out, so the Tanakhama said you can save three meals, two meals, one meal, and we had the opinion Rav Yossi that said you can always save three meals. Now, Tana Rabbanan, the Braisa tells us, Kama Su'udos Chayev Odom Lechol B'Shabbos. How many meals does a person have to eat on Shabbos? So we all think we know the answer to that. Shalosh, like the Braisa says, Shalosh. However, there's a famous Rav Chitka. Rav Chitka Omer Arba. He has four meals. In fact, there are people today that have a fourth meal on Shabbos. It's called Sudas Rav Chitka. They have the fourth meal. Whenever you have four meals on Shabbos, whatever the situation may be, in the long days in the summer, so maybe a person davens Hashkama, then he eats a lunch after that. That's his second meal on the Shabbos day, and then he wants to have Shabbos Shudas. That's the third meal already on Shabbos day, in addition to the Friday night meal. So that fourth meal, you should wash the Lecha Mishnah, and that's called Sudas Rav Chitka. In any event, Rav Chitka says you do that every week, not only on special occasions. Now, Rav Yochanan says that this shita of having three total meals on Shabbos, which is what most people do, and the special shita of Rav Chitka to have four meals, is both darshu from the same pasuk. Shtei mikrach darshu. The pasuk is Vayom Moshe, Ichlu Hayom. The parsha of the month, Moshe tells the people, eat it Hayom. That's the first time it says it. Ki Shabbos Hayom Lashem. That's the second time it says Hayom. Hayom lo simsu vasadei. You're not going to find the man coming out on Shabbos. There's a double portion that came down on Friday. So it says the word Hayom three times. So the Chachamim learned it out that it means three times all on Shabbos. Rav Chitka says, no, Savar, Hanitlosa Hayom Levar Meyurta. This is talking about today. So therefore, it's talking about during the daytime you have to have three meals separate from the urta, from the meal the night before. So Rav Chitka says there are four meals on Shabbos. Rav Nasavri, no, Bahad the urta. It includes even the meal at night. Friday night is one, Shabbos lunch is two, Shabbos Shudas is three. Now, Tznan, our Mishnah seems to be a raya to the opinion of the Chachamim against Rav Chitka. We said in our Mishnah, if the fire comes out on Erev Shabbos, Matzilin, Mazon, Gimusudas, turn to the Yom Aleph, you're allowed to say three meals. Now, my lav, the lo ochal, aren't we talking about here, he hadn't yet eaten the Friday night meal, Kasha Rav Chitka? Shmuel says, lo, the ochal. Even though he ate the Friday night meal, since he has to have three meals on Shabbos, Rav Chitka says, that's what it's talking about. It's after the Friday night meal came the fire, and yet he's still allowed to save three meals. It's a raya to me. Shachris, said in our Mishnah, Shachris, you'll have to save two meals. Matzil and Mazon, Shtei Sudos. My lav, the lo ochal, doesn't mean that you haven't yet eaten Shachris. And therefore, if you ate Shachris, you can only save one meal. Oh, Kashan Rav Chitka. Someone says, lo, the ochal. He already ate the meal. So therefore, you're still allowed to save two meals, exactly like Rav Chitka. B'mincha, it says, Matzilin, Mazon, Suda, Achras. You only have to save one Suda. Now, my lav, the lo ochal, doesn't mean that you haven't yet eaten Mincha. You haven't had Shalosh Shudas yet. And therefore, that's why you're allowed to save one meal. Kashan Rav Chitka. Someone says, lo, the ochal. You already ate Shalosh Shudas, and yet you're still allowed to have one more meal, the Sudas Rav Chitka. That's what Rav Chitka says. Mora says, well, wait a second, that still can't be right. Keep on reading. The end of the Mishnah said the opinion of Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi Omer, La'olam Matzilin Mazon Gimu Sudos. You're only always allowed to save three, because that's the maximum that you can ever have. Michlal, the Tanakama, Gimusurle, that the Tanakama says that it was three meals, and that is like the Chachamim, and not like Rav Chitka. Shmuel says, you're right. Elamachvarta, the right answer is, the correct answer is, that our Mishnah, Masnisin, the lo, ki Rav Chitka. Our Mishnah doesn't hold like Rabbi Chitka. Our Mishnah holds like the Rabbanan. No, Rav Chitka is a separate Shita, but he doesn't have the support of our Mishnah. He's a Tani. He can argue with our Mishnah, but our Mishnah is not like Rav Chitka. This concludes today's share. We learned it again, Lila Nishmas, my mother, Alea Shalom, Chana Bas Meir Avram, Imi Morasi, whose yard site is tonight. Mitzvah Shem, all the Nishamas we've learned for should have an Aliyah.